have a short business meeting after the service tonight, so make sure you're here. I do want to mention that Cornerstone Baptist Church up in Sheboygan had their first evening service this last Sunday night, and I believe they had 28 in attendance. And so I really praise the Lord when people start a church and they have Sunday night services like they ought to, and that's a blessing. And we need to pray. We need to pray that they get that soon they'll have their first soul get saved. And really, that's probably going to be the real beginning of the core of that church. See some family come to Christ. So encourage you to pray specifically for that. Remember to pray for Chicagoland Baptist Church. Pray for them in their battle against the city. And that they'll be able to get into their building. And that's probably a real key for them in that place. Remember to pray for Sunday. Pray for me, that the Holy Spirit would be upon me to preach. And then we ought to pray for a visitor to come on Sunday. Don't you think we should pray for that? And so as you go to prayer groups, remember that. 1 Timothy, we're going to spend a little bit more time in 1 Timothy. Pray for the Bible quizzers this weekend. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Here we have one of those passages of Scripture that uses different synonyms for prayer, and gives us different categories of prayer, and gives us some insight into our prayer life. And first of all, he says, I exhort that supplications be made. Supplications. And what is the emphasis of the word supplication? Well, if you think of it, the word supplication comes from the word supplicate. And supplicate is the word that speaks of a person bowing down before the king. And beseeching him to hear their request. I think it would be the picture in my mind is, a person coming before the king, not an equal, but one of the subjects of the nation, and getting on his knees before the king. And in a sense, with great humility and with great earnestness, pleading with the king. And here we find an insight into prayer, that it is a supplication. It's the result of an earnest need, a deep felt humility, in a sense, almost begging the Father to answer prayer. supplicate, supplications. You know, in our prayer, there ought to be different tones of voice. There ought to be different expressions of our heart. You know, we're not praying off a list. We're not praying a list. In one sense, that's not even praying. And here we have really the attitude of a prayer. Now, I think that we ought to start with children. Children need to learn that. Now they ought to be. They ought to learn that they can pray and they can approach God. And it's important for children to learn that, even as the Holy Spirit says, "Abba, Father." But children need to learn that God isn't equal with them. He's not equal. He's high above. And we ought to approach Him. And you know, sometimes children, they will talk to adults like they're equal. And that's kind of just childness, you know, and we have to teach them proper approach to an adult and how to talk to an authority. But how much more so when we come before God? How much more so? We get a sense of His holiness. We get a sense of His greatness. You know, the ancient Greeks, their gods were glorified humans, weren't they? And sad to say, many times our God in our mind is just a glorified human. And yet He is so far above that. Now think about it. That's the day in which we live. That's the day in which we live. If people can, without any whim or any smite of conscience, if people can worship God with rock music, with sensual sound, and sensual motions, how little do we know about God? How little do we know about God? And here we have a good insight into, yes, supplication. Supplication. Admitting in our tone of voice that what is man that thou art mindful of him? When I consider the heavens, the sun, and the stars, and all that the Lord has made, what is man? And so, first of all, this attitude of who we're approaching. And then, the earnestness, the humble earnestness in our prayer as we approach this mighty one. You know, coming back to where we start, you know, we can teach a lot to our children about God just by how we teach them how to pray. Once in a while, in Bible class or other situations, have somebody read the Bible. And you know what? Once in a while, someone will, and I'd say, stop. Go back. Read that like it's the Bible. Now, there's the same principle about prayer. And our prayer ought to express our understanding of who God is. That He is high and great. And we are nothing. And yet, we can come to Him with earnestness and humility and with a desperation. Is coming to one, the creator of the universe, the only one who can answer this need. I think we can get all that picture in the whole word, supplicate. Even as you think of the ancient Orient. Supplications. The only one who can supply is God. And that's closely related to the next one, prayer. Prayer emphasizes that we have a need. It can be a spiritual need. It can be a physical need. But, one thing that's about prayer is prayer is a decision to do something about what is in our life. Be anxious for nothing. We would rather do that a lot of times, wouldn't we? And that's really human. Boy, I'm just going to be anxious about this. I'm going to be anxious about this. I'm going to be thinking about this. I'm just going to be anxious about it. And then we come to that point where we say, wait a minute. That's not doing any good. I need to go to God. In fact, I'm going to decide to go to God. I'm going to decide by faith to go to God. And we see in that word prayer and in this principle, we find the decision of faith. You know, a lot of times our prayers don't have faith in them. A lot of times our prayers are just a list. We rattle off a bunch of names or whatever, but we really didn't decide that we're trusting God for something. We're trusting this need to God. And you know, there's a spiritual transaction that has to take place within us. And if you're saved, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a spiritual transaction that has to take place within your soul. And many times it's kind of like the last thing, you know? And you find, I'm going to pray about this. And there's the emphasis of that simple word, prayer. Isn't something that we just do. There's a spiritual transaction that takes place. So how do we do this, young people? What about it, children? Are you listening? What does that mean? You know, when we pray a prayer, there is a transaction that takes place in our heart before we do it. Praying isn't just saying words. Praying is deciding that I am going to God. And I am going by faith to God. I'm not just saying words. I've decided something about this request. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to guess here, 55, but it's a great expression of this. Psalm 55, I believe it is. Might be close to there. I might have to turn, but I think it's Psalm 55. 55, verse 17. Verse 16. He said it very simply. As for me, he's in this trouble. Verse 5, fearfulness, trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, there are wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Oh, I could just run away. Then in verse 16, though, he comes to conclusion. As for me, this is what I'm going to do, he says. Hey, I'm going to do something about this problem. I will call upon God. And then what does he say? And the Lord might save me. No, he says the Lord shall save me. Notice the faith there. Notice the decision to do something about the problem. Notice the faith in his prayer. And so here, when we think of prayer, we think of this decision of turning to God. Coming to God. That's a decision about life. And we're, by faith, we're approaching him for this need in believing. Then we have another word about prayer. Intercession. Intercession. What does it mean? Intercession. How does that fit in? What kind of prayer is that? Well, Moses, God says, I'm going to take care of these people right now. And Moses said, Lord, please don't. Moses was interceding to God on behalf of the people. Intercession emphasized a couple things. Intercession emphasizes a praying on behalf of others who can't intercede for themselves. Can unsaved people, theologically, can they pray? Do they have access to the Father? No! There's a wall of sin that separated them between them and their God. I think of Job. He said, I'm going to go offer a sacrifice. Because you know what? My children might have sinned today. I'm gonna offer a sacrifice for my children. They might have sinned today. He was interceding, wasn't he? Now, in order to intercede, it emphasizes, obviously, you have to have access. You have to have access to God.
And you think again from a medieval situation. Here's someone, and they don't have access to the king. The Jews were going to be slaughtered. And Mordecai said to Esther, "You're the only one that can get into the king's presence. You're the only one alive that could get into the king's presence and speak on our behalf." Boy, that was pretty important intercession, wasn't it? And here we have, I think we have here an answer to the question. I don't know the, I don't, you know, I've heard big theological debates, you know. I don't really care for a lot of them. And one of the theological debates, and I suppose hundreds of papers have been written about it. Should you pray for lost people to get saved? Now, it seems kind of, I suppose to the average layperson, that sounds pretty stupid, but or dumb or whatever, but sorry for the word. But you know what? That's what the theologians are debating. What's the word intercession all about? You're interceding for someone else. Because they don't have access to the person that needs to be talked to. You know, if you don't pray for your neighbor, who is going to? And you know, when you think of many of these requests, you know, a person brings a request and someone has a serious health problem and they want the church to pray for them. Well, you know, they really appreciate that. But also, you know what? They kind of, it's kind of like, hey, they can pray. They can pray. And if they can pray, certainly I need them to pray for me. Right? And of course, your relatives, they can mock you and give you a hard time about your Christianity. But man, I tell you what, when someone is sick, they're going to make sure that they call you up and ask you to pray. Why? Because of this principle of intercession. This is a good principle for us parents. Job taught us that, man, we need to intercede for our children. Many times they have very little sense of the realities of the spiritual world around them. Somebody needs to intercede for them. Lost people. They don't have anybody to pray for them. God's people have a duty. We have a privilege. We have access to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, intercession speaks of our duty on behalf of others. It speaks of the privilege that we have to have access to the Father. And you know, a lot of people just don't really believe what the Bible says. A lot of people don't really believe what the Bible says. A lot of people don't. Most people, they just think they can pray to God, don't they? Now, God in His grace, He can do what He wants, but theologically, there's a barrier between God and man. And unsaved people do not have the assurance of access to the Father. That's pretty serious, isn't it? And underscores not only our privilege, but underscores our duty. And of course, then it says giving of thanks. And it tells us that our prayer life should be continually interspersed with thankfulness. Thankfulness. And we ought to have thankfulness in our prayer. Sometimes we forget that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. I think there's a principle, if we can't give thanks in our prayer as we approach God, there's probably a good indication that we might not be on praying ground. Young person, when you pray, do you have something to thank God about? Well, that changes a lot of things, doesn't it? That changes a lot of things. It certainly emphasizes, if we're doing any kind of real spiritual thinking in our prayer, if we can't come to God and thank Him, we need to do some checking up, don't we? We need to get that place where we can thank God. And so I think it's good for moms and dads. I think it's good for us to sometimes, maybe family devotions, maybe we need to, and speaking for myself too, we need to do some checkup. And we ought not let just the kids run through a list. But maybe we need to do some instruction about some of these things. Say, you know what, let's before we pray, think of something to thank God for. Get in a thankful spirit before you pray. When you pray, talk like you're really talking to God. Now, I'm sure that it's somewhat difficult for a child to recognize God, but think about it. The younger a child, the bigger God should be to them. Not the more equal. So there's instructions that we need. And as we go to prayer night, we need to recognize that there's intercession that needs to be made. And we're the ones who have, we have that privilege, we have that duty to intercede on behalf of others. And you know, our missionaries, many of them are sleeping right now. But they are very, very much desirous that we would pray for them. I can tell you that they feel helpless to do the impossible task that they are trying to do. They feel helpless. They need our intercession on their behalf. And so these are great truths for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for these great words. And may this be more than instruction. May, Lord, your Holy Spirit help us even in this moment to meet with you. Help your people, Lord, to take a moment now and listen to your Holy Spirit as they think of the truth of these truths and how we ought to apply it to our prayer life. Whether it is the attitude, whether it is the decision, whether it is faith, what if it has to do with our attitude, our duty, whatever it might be, might we allow you to work in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.